Okay. She is here.
We'll pass the Hill area until Ms. Mary Hill is present. Next item on the agenda is Mr. Chuck Charles Lawrence, C.W. Lawrence, item 03-1086. That be you, Mr. Stagg? Sir. Now, we'll have you back, though.
All right, this is a request for authorization to retain a previously installed boat lift along a previously permitted 8-foot by 36-foot open pile pier, and a request to modify Mr. Lawrence's existing permit to construct an 8-foot by 20-foot pier extension along that same pier mentioned above, and install a 6-foot by 80-foot floating pier, and to install a 4-foot by 55-foot floating pier. All of this is adjacent to commercial property of the applicant along Jones Creek, which is a tributary to the Pagan River in Olive-White County. The project site is located in the community of Rescue, this approximate location immediately adjacent to the Jones Creek Bridge, which some of the commissioners may remember was replaced just a few years ago. Again, here's an aerial view. That's the bridge. The actual facility area is here. This is the existing permitted pier, the unauthorized lift that's been installed. The applicant owns this narrow property here and is currently constructing a restaurant facility here. I'll have to give you a little history on this project to get you up to snuff as to where we are today. Originally, the applicant applied in 2001. At that time, there was a restaurant at the site, a very old structure that predated permitting. And the applicant was seeking to install some piers adjacent to it. The Jones Creek Bridge project was about to begin. And caused some conflicts with the proposed location of his piers. There were some opposition of the adjoining property owner also that owns this marina facility here concerning navigation. The end result was, due to the Virginia Department of Transportation's concerns, the original application was inactivated. He again applied in 2003 to construct a bulkhead and three piers along the proposed bulkhead under application 030640. At this time, the restaurant, which there was a fire and the restaurant had burned down, the remnants of it had been removed, and basically it was just an empty lot, the lower end of this lot. That was removed, and the bridge construction was also complete at that time. The most recent application was denied by the Wetlands Board. The most recent application, which was permitted basically for this configuration, and this is the same application you're hearing today that's being modified, basically a pier here which is constructed, these two piers which have not been constructed, they were never constructed, and the bulkhead which also has been constructed. The bulkhead was approved by the Wetlands Board. We issued a permit for the piers in this configuration, and only this one was constructed. The most recent submission for the modification proposes these additions: extending this fixed pier here, attaching a floating pier here, 80 feet long, also constructing this pier as permitted and previously, and adding a floating pier along the bulkhead. Again, here's the existing boat lift that was installed without previous authorization. These are ground shots taken. This one was actually taken before the current restaurant was under construction, showing the existing pier and the existing boat lift. Most of the rest of the pictures will actually show the building. They were taken later. This is taken from the bridge, looking at the restaurant facility. Again, there would be a floating pier here where these pilings are, and the other pier will show up. This is on the bridge. Because there was issues with this originally, some of the original applications about navigation, we continue to have some concerns, so we really wanted to look at this from a navigation perspective. This is standing on the bridge right over the channel light in the center of the bridge, looking downstream on Jones Creek. So basically, you know, the channel alignment for boats coming through the bridge are going in this direction. You can't even see his existing pier in this picture. I couldn't get far enough back on the bridge to see it without the railing being in the way. This is the adjoining property's marina pier, and obviously some other piers out here on another adjoining property further downstream. Now I'm still on the bridge, and I've walked over. I'm standing on the basic, I'm beyond the channel. I'm to the right of the vents of the bridge for the channel, looking parallel down the side of the creek. Attempted to depict the approximate location of this pier extension along with the floating section that would run parallel with the bulkhead. This does not run exactly parallel to the channel alignment, but more parallel to the upland bulkhead. An aerial view, again depicting the extension. This is the opening of the channel proper. There's the channel light. Basically, boat traffic goes in this alignment. Another thing to note at this location, one of the reasons for this configuration is, I believe, two reasons. One, he configured this to match sort of the upland bulkhead. It's fairly narrow here, and the tide runs through here very, very, very hard on tide changes. So it's somewhat difficult to maneuver into this boat ramp. This is the applicant's boat ramp, but he just uses it for his own personal use. He also has another building further on the upland that he does boat refurbishing and sales. So this site is a multi-commercial use. He does do boat sales here, and also once the restaurant's open, we'll have a restaurant business here. So the purpose of this area is he will have some boats in here on occasion for sale. Also, some boat traffic will come in here to access the restaurant. The configuration was done this way per the applicant, partly because of the tide, in that he believes the easiest way to get in here for boats would be to come either up through the channel and back through the next set of vents, or through here when the tide's not running quite as hard, and come into this area side two to these two piers that we'll be in. This is standing on the adjoining marina's property, looking back at the channel and his structure. His current structure stops about in line with his piling. You can see the pier there. I'm showing this to show you the channel opening. That's the actual opening of the channel itself. There's the light, center light. This is about how the boat traffic comes. There's a slight bend. You come down this bay behind the bridge, swing around here, come up, and then through this way. Again, an aerial perspective from the plane, showing the approximate locations of the structures. Again, here's the channel. Boats going out the creek. We'll be making a slight turn here. You're really sort of forced to do that the way the channel is. It is very deep all the way across here, even over into this area here. Naturally deep. You never have to dredge this area. Tide really runs through here hard. The applicant has stated that the existing and currently unauthorized boat lift will be used by himself for his personal boat and or to display boats for sale from his boat refurbishing business. And again, as I noted, the reason for the alignment is to allow safe access by water, considering the tidal currents along this reach of the creek. BIMS has previously looked at this project under the original permit and stated that the individual and cumulative adverse impacts resulting from the proposal will be minimal, and confirmed the same finding based on the modified drawings and a recent site visit at which I was also present. The Olive-White County Wetlands Board approved this modification at their hearing on July the 17th. The Department of Conservation and Recreation has found the project acceptable, and since the applicant does not propose any overnight mooring other than boats for sale, and the restaurant has approved facilities, the Health Department has signed off that no additional authorization is required from them. No other agencies have commented. So while the current request will likely result in boat traffic traversing a portion of the adjoining property owner's riparian area, which is shown, this is the adjoining property owner, boats will have to traverse across some of that riparian area. This property owner has indicated he does not object to this alignment. Therefore, after evaluating the merits of the project, considering past commission action in similar projects, and all the factors contained in Section 28.2.1205 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends after-the-fact approval of the previously installed boat lift, conditioned on the applicant's agreement to pay a civil charge based on minimal environmental damage and moderate degree of noncompliance. We also recommend approval of the proposed additions with a permit condition that there should be no overnight mooring of boats along the Channelwood side of the offshore pier, which would be here. We further recommend a royalty of $1,040 be assessed for a 16-foot by 65-foot area at a rate of $1 per square foot, that's 1,040 square feet, to include the inshore fixed pier and attached floating pier. That's this area, which would include both the pier and an offshore mooring for a couple of boats on the offshore side. So that's the bold outline that the royalty is based on. And the applicant may tell you that he wants may want to moor the boats out here. We looked at the whole thing, and this is our recommendation, that this is where the restaurant patrons would access. If this is used for boat sales and the other area is really for boat sales, that is exempt per code from a royalty because the General Assembly provided exemption for royalties for boat yards that service boats or sell boats. So what we've done is we've taken part of this area and deemed it to be being used for restaurant patrons, which is not exempt. And that's the area we're recommending for that area, and that's what the royalty is based on. That would include the inshore fixed pier and a mooring area. As I said, the remaining area would be for boat sales business and is exempt. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I've got one question. Could you put
Mr. Holland?
Could you put the slide up with the red slide that shows the addition and the what is on the outward side of the additional dock right there?
Right here.
You're saying no overnight mooring.
Right.
How about day mooring? In other words, is that going to be with larger boats? Is that going to be?
We don't believe with the depth here and the way the channel naturally turns slightly in this direction during the day, I mean, the boats will be visible, that would be a problem. So, yeah.
Mr. Shook,
do you know what the distance is between the proposed pier and the other pier across the way?
I do not know that distance, but the drawing does indicate that from the proposed pier to the center of the channel would be 65 and 55 feet.
Okay, and so 55 feet from the end of the proposed pier, that's the closest
amount. To the center of the channel.
Center
of the channel, right. And that, okay. I'd guess that the other pier on the other side is another 70 to 80 feet from, at least from the center of the channel on the other side.
And for informational purposes, it is an established no-wake zone, of course.
Right. Not that everybody adheres to it.
No.
not any of them. Keeps us in a job.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Fox.
Yes.
Are you at all concerned about that extension, the length of that extension? Because it does seem to me that if we cut back on that extension, then the whole thing, the whole floating pier would be moved landward and would be less of a possible hazard to navigation.
Yeah,
or do you think just there's no hazard of navigation?
This is a reduction in his original application, which did go out further when we did have a concern with navigation. But I believe, based on this drawing, that that it's adequate.
Because it does extend farther out towards the channel than his neighbor, for example.
Yes, it does. It does go slightly further. He previously had applied to go out a little further than that, and the neighbor objected to that as well, and we had concerns too.
But the neighbor's comfortable with it.
The neighbor has not objected to this current plan.
Okay.
On either side.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of questions. Is this a relatively low bridge, the clearance of the bridge? Are these small boats using trafficking through here?
Well, relative is a relative word, I guess. There is a boat ramp upstream of this county boat ramp, but typically, I mean, you're talking about fishing boats. It was a big controversy when this bridge was built. Some people wanted it much higher.
Right.
They lived upstream because of sailboats. I do not know the clearance of it.
But it's not going to allow a tower boat to go through. I mean, these are...
Not a tower boat, but it will allow a 41-foot sedan bridge Sea Ray of that type with a Mediterranean arch to traverse through there, as I recall.
It is much higher than the previous bridge.
Research. To put a fine point on it, I appreciate that. Now, there was an objection initially to the plans by Department of Transportation, but that's since been dropped.
What correct? Their major objection was when they were getting ready to build this bridge, they needed to use very large cranes and barges, and they said, we cannot have a pier at this location and even get our barge in this area.
So that was a temporary concern.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions of staff?
Very well done. Thank you, Ben. Is the applicant here or represented? Hello, Mr. Lawrence.
Good afternoon, sirs and gentlemen.
You raise your right hand, be sworn. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you'll give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do, sir.
State your name, please, and who you represent.
Chuck Lawrence, and I'm representing Jones Creek Associates, who's the property owners, basically.
Good to have you here today.
Thank you. I have to take what Mr. Fox was saying a few minutes ago, or Mr. Schrick, or Mr. Hawk, I can't remember, about how many agencies that you have to deal with in order to reinvent the wheel. But as just a little bit of a background, I lost a restaurant from a brokerage boat that we had 4 years ago now in October. And I have talked to everybody, I think, except George Bush on this particular redoing as far as having to reinvent the wheel. Mr. Stagg, who I've worked with on several different occasions before, has been very helpful in helping me. But I had to sit for 2.5 years after the place burned down because VDOT was in the way with the bridge. We tried to do whatever we can, and I have always tried to do everything that y'all have asked me to do. I apologize for the after-the-fact boat lift. I was approved for 4 slips back in 2003, and I thought that it was approved for me just to put one of those boat lifts in that slip. That was my fault, and I found out differently, and we were getting ready to go on with the rest of the docks, and then Ben informed me this, and then that's when we made sure that all these applications were right and doing everything that we possibly could. But we're at those final stages of trying to finally get the little restaurant back and everything else. So we've talked with neighbors, we've talked with Ben, we've talked with Army Corps of Engineers, and we have rearranged this particular project in several different ways to be the safest and most practical with the current that we've got going through there right now. So the only thing that, and I read that they basically want to approve this, and I'd certainly appreciate it if y'all did approve it. I'd also like a discount on $1,040-something, but I know that's something either it's cost of doing business. But if y'all got any questions of me about what the project is or how it is, I'll be glad to answer any questions I have.
Do you agree with staff recommendation? Do you agree with staff recommendation?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With respect to the royalty issue, is the intended use of those mooring areas right up against the bulkhead, is that going to be for restaurant patrons?
And Ben and I talked about that and discussed this. This was just something new. This has been an ongoing project for me for 3 years.
Right.
So this is something y'all just evidently just enacted as far as the royalties that I hadn't heard of before. So it's just an extra $1,000 on the many thousands of dollars that I've already spent. So
I understand.
But no, we're going to use it multiple purposes. I'm in the boat business, have been in the boat business, and we're going to use that area to display boats. as well as in summertime to be able to have some boats pull up there to go into the little restaurant. So I'm happy with what they've decided as far as usage is concerned.
Okay, and the back to the boat lift, part of staff's recommendation is a civil charge for the after the fact nature of the boat lift approval. When you gained approval for the four slips, did you communicate to VMRC that you intended to put a boat lift in there, or did you subsequently contact them prior to construction?
Well, this is my fault. This was strictly my fault. We had approval for four wet slips, two finger piers, and that 36-foot dock that we built. And I'm in the boat business. I'm not in the dock building business or anything else. We were sitting there and have been sitting there for almost 4 years in limbo, that for over 3 years there was nothing but a vacant lot that I was paying mortgages on until we could get the process going as far as to build this restaurant's concerned. I lived in that upstairs building with my wife for over a year and a half, and I actually put the boat lift in for my own self. It's not been rented out. It's not used for any other purposes except my own self, so to speak. But I had a deal on a boat lift, and it was two pylons instead of 20-some pylons for the extra finger piers and stuff. After we got the approval on the original thing back in 2003, even myself trying to back boats into that current, if you've ever been up in that section of the world, even around Smithfield stations, there is a lot of current that comes through there, and you got to be pretty daggone good in order to back a boat. We got some rays of hope from the county and the state about being able to rebuild the restaurant, so we just put that basically on hold. So that answers your question.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman,
let me see if there's anybody in opposition. If
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Ms. Walsh. We may have further. Is there anyone in the audience in opposition to this project? No one in opposition. Mr. Holland.
I move we adopt staff recommendation.
Second it.
There involves, I believe, a civil charge as well in reference to the after-the-fact boat lift. Would you contain the provisions of that in your motion, Mr. Holland?
Yes.
What do you believe to be a fair civil charge, or what are you recommending?
Whatever the minimum is.
Help me out, Mr. Gray. Where's that located? Where's that matrix located?
You got it? $600.
If it's minimal environmental impact and a moderate,
$600.
It'd be $1,200, but
I would change that to, excuse me, I would change that to the minimum $600.
Motion been made by Mr. Holland to approve staff recommendations with a minimal civil charge for the after-the-fact boat lift of $600. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Mr. Schick. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Chair votes aye. Mrs. Hill, we have a case slated involving you, I believe, and your daughter that was up on the agenda. Do you know where she is by chance? We don't want to delay you.
I thought she came in with us.
She did.
She did.
Did you look in the engineering department? Did you look in the engineering department?
Yes.
Okay. I just want the record to reflect that Ms. Hill's case was due to be heard number four on the agenda. We were prepared to hear the matter, and we will. I'm not inclined to delay the continuance of the agenda. So when Ms. Hill, when your daughter returns, we're going to hear your case, okay? When your daughter returns, we will hear your case, okay? Thank you, ma'am. Item number 8, William J. Maher. Chip?
Yes, sir. Kathy, I'll go right into the slides. Mr. Maher is requesting authorization to construct a 15-foot by 20-foot riprap breakwater, a 15-foot by 40-foot riprap breakwater, and 75 linear feet of riprap marsh toe sill, and to place 50 cubic yards of sand landward of the breakwaters as beach nourishment. adjacent to his property, situated along Stutz Creek in Middlesex County. The project is protested now by several nearby property owners and residents along the creek. Their protest letter has been added to your packet. It's more of a letter of concern and request for a study. This is the USGS topographic map of the project site. The arrow depicts the location of the project. Mr. Maher's property is situated along Stutz Creek at a tributary, Stutz Creek and Callis Creek, which is a tributary of Stutz Creek, in the Redard area of Matthews County. Development along this portion of shoreline is primarily residential. So a closer view of that same map, Callis Creek is the creek leading up here. There's actually several Callis Creeks in Matthews County. This is a navigational chart that shows Callis Creek. I added this to show that there is a fair amount of relatively deep water within the creek, and it also shows that narrow mouth and narrow channel leading into Callis Creek. This is the 2002 digital ortho photograph. You can make out the channel leading into the creek here. Mr. Maher's house is located right here. It's located over 400 feet landward of the project. It's clearly not threatened by erosion. The intent of the project is more to protect the sand beach and the migration of the spit landward. The plan view drawings, they're proposing to construct 75 linear feet of riprap sill, which is this area. The two breakwaters out front, and just now 50 cubic yards of sand placed landward of the breakwaters. They had originally proposed more. We mentioned that we had concerns with the placement of any fill down there. They have now requested just 50 cubic yards, as much for construction access as anything else. This is a plan view drawing that has the benchmark distances on it. I added this in just to show the relative location of the corner of one of the breakwaters to a green channel marker, marking the channel leading into Callis Creek.
And that was how many feet?
30 feet.
30 feet.
Yes, sir. Although no dredging is proposed, the applicant provided this drawing to illustrate that the location of the riprap sill would not interfere with the dredging of the creek should it be needed in the future. It's a cross-sectional drawing of the breakwater and the proposed 50 cubic yards of fill, sandy beach fill, beach nourishment. This drawing was provided by the applicant. It's kind of a composite of two different surveys, and it was provided to show that the spit has experienced some erosion between a 1988 survey and January of 2006. You can see that in yellow is the 88, and in that brown color is the location of the 06 survey. Don't want to get into the mean low water and what elevation and everything this was taken at, but there does appear to be some migration of the spit landward. It is unclear, given that they've actually accreted some sand over in this area, and I'm not sure what the height of that spit has done, whether there's been any actual loss of sediment along that spit. Just appears that the spit is rolling landward towards the creek a little bit. This is an aerial photograph taken in May of this year. Although we had received calls from two concerned residents along the creek, at the time of the evaluation, we'd not received an actual letter. We did receive a fax letter over the weekend signed by Mr. Wilkinson and Mr. Sadler that also included 10 additional signatures of residents along the creek stating that they had a concern that the project may adversely affect the creek entrance. and they requested a study be conducted prior to the project being approved. That letter, as I mentioned before, has been added to your book. In their report dated February 8th of 2006, VIM states they believe the current proposal is an improvement over a previous application. They also stated that while there is some change occurring along the shoreline, it is unexpectedly slow given the exposed nature of the shoreline. They also note that the spit appears to be moving into the creek. VIMS is of the opinion that the beach nourishment sand will probably not adversely affect the channel. However, they do recommend the nourished area be sprigged with salt marsh cord grass and salt meadow hay rather than the proposed American beach grass, which is a little bit higher species. This is an aerial photograph looking generally toward the west. This is Mr. Maher's house. This is a pier slash bridge structure that leads to the spit. I believe it's set up so he can moor a boat along the bridge portion there. The Department of Game and Inland Fisheries notes the presence of bald eagles and tiger beetles within 2 miles of the project site. They also note the presence of certain water bird species that are listed as special concern. They finally recommend compensating for any non-vegetated wetland losses. The Department of Conservation and Recreation notes the presence of several natural heritage resources in the vicinity, but they state that they do not believe the project will adversely affect those resources. This is a ground shot of the pier and bridge structure leading to the project site. And this is a final aerial. Kathy, you can get the lights up. The project has been revised several times in an attempt to address concerns expressed by both VIMS and staff, and the sill and breakwater appear to be appropriately designed to protect Mr. Maher's spit of land. Although the effectiveness of breakwaters is related to their ability to hold a beach landward of the structures, and most breakwaters are proposed with beach nourishment, staff is concerned with the intentional placement of additional sand so close to the narrow Callis Creek channel. This is especially true since Mr. Maher does not have any structures currently threatened by erosion, and the rate of erosion is relatively low at this site. Accordingly, we recommend approval of the sill and breakwaters, but we recommend denial of the placement of the sand for beach nourishment. Staff acknowledges that contractors often use sand nourishment as a causeway for construction access when building breakwaters. In this instance, however, we recommend the contractor use mats to access the site. If that is not practical, staff would recommend allowing the contractor to use a maximum of 50 cubic yards of sand to create a construction causeway, provided that the sand is removed and the intertidal and subtidal lands impacted are restored to their original pre-construction contours and conditions. Staff also recommends the applicant be required to install and maintain a piling-mounted sign at the corner of the breakwater closest to the channel to warn boaters of the submerged hazard. If approved per staff recommendation, we would not recommend the assessment of a royalty since the breakwaters are constructed of riprap and because any sand fill would be required to be removed upon completion of the breakwaters. Should the commission decide to approve the beach nourishment, staff recommends the assessment of a royalty in the amount of $5 per square foot for any submerged lands filled by the beach nourishment material. Be happy to attempt to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Neikert? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess the fill is just sort of a best management practice question. I mean, is that, if that's properly sprigged, is that not going to be sufficiently stable in your opinion?
I don't know. Our concern is that there's such a narrow creek entrance going into the channel, and there's a lot of concern that, you know, placement of any sand in there might migrate into the channel. I'd hate, whether or not it was sand from their project, I'm afraid that the perception would be that is if that shoal pin that they'd be pointing at this project.
Okay.
Really.
And can you show us another, once again, the overhead that had the comparative surveys? One
yes.
was, what, 1988 and the other 2006?
Yep.
All right. So there's been a loss approximately. I guess there's been a loss of 25 feet of shoreline there at the very.
Yes, that area seems to be the most significant loss, and it just appears that it has kind of rolled back, you know, to this location. There's also been a loss of, I think they're showing about 13 feet in this location.
And is the point where the sill would be located, isn't that roughly where the sill would be?
The sill is actually located along in here now.
Right.
And then the breakwaters are out in this area.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Fox,
how do they propose to construct this? Where, how are they going to, there's a marsh in here that they...
I believe the construction access is over the neighbor's property.
It's actually using it around.
Okay. And the breakwaters, you're not concerned about hazard to navigation?
No, not their location. And we would like to have them marked. And that was actually one of the recommendations by one of the residents along the creek. Since, you know, the toe of that structure is actually going to be submerged at most tide levels, you know, to mark that corner.
But the channel marker is right there.
Mr. Shue.
So.
Yes. So. There is a channel marker. I believe it's probably a private marker that's...
Okay.
You know, whether or not it's an authorized marker that's maintained on a regular basis, I don't know.
Chip, I have one question. You, in your evaluation, you state that we recommend the contractor use mats to access the site. If this is not practical to utilize mats, staff would recommend allowing the contractor to use a maximum 50 cubic yards of sand. What is the standard to determine practicality as far as this evaluation is concerned?
In this case, we'd leave it to them for that 50 cubic yards. We don't want them to use the sand if it's cost prohibitive for them to buy any kind of special mats they don't have at this time, or if the water gets a little too deep to use mats, and it's still cost effective for them to put 50 cubic yards of sand down and remove that sand, we'd say that would be okay.
Thank you. Any other questions for staff? Is the applicant here represented? Thank you, Chip.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, good to have you here again.
You ought to know
good
how to
be
run.
Back. I know. It's been a while, though. You don't have any ground shots, do you?
Just one of
Can you raise your right hand? Yep. You solemnly swear the testimony you'll give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
You state your name and who you represent, please.
Yes. My name is Kevin Curling, Curling Environmental Consulting, LLC. I am the agent for the project. Also, the contractor is present if you have those questions. And it's good to be back before y'all.
Good to have you here.